वाक्येषु प्रकवस्थानदे मध्यदे च गन्धः प्राणो वायुश्चित्तकर्तुः ब्रह्माद्या श्रेषु देवता. The various demigods are all acting under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to their various actions, the demigods are different names. We read the text again. Tapo me kayam kamas, panu vidya kriyat, ungari kakabo jato, dhamma atma sabasya. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my mind. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders various departments of my soul. Prabhupada comments that this is an impersonal description of the whole. In other words, how to see that the various energies of the Lord, which are working under his direction, can be seen as various limbs or parts of the Lord's internal and external features. Metaphor. So this is the impersonal feature. This is impersonal in God. It is not Krishna directly that is seen in this way, but rather his energies as they are working. When he says, for example, says the other descriptions of the universal form. The rivers are his veins, the hills and mountains are his bones, vegetation, the trees and the hairs on his body, and so on. This is a way that a materialist who cannot see the personal nature of the Lord directly can yet meditate on him. It's an authorized form of meditation on Krishna. But it's impersonal in the sense that this is spiritual form, but rather meditation on him as if he were his energies. So it's a metaphor. But what is seen by this meditation is how everything is working under the control and direction of. So from various angles, you're getting at the super soul. And so that conception of the soul of the universe arises. So it's a way of meditating on the external features of the super soul through the activity, the energies of the soul. This verse begins, Tapo me hridaya. That tapa, austerity, is my heart. And these same words are used by Krishna elsewhere. That's what I thought I'd talk about this morning. Tapo me hridaya. In Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 23, Tapo me hridaya saksha. Lord Krishna here is speaking to Lord Brahma. Pratyadishtam mayatatra tvayi karma vimukte tapo me hridayam saksha atmaham tapasolaya. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, tapo me hridayam saksha. And therefore penance and I are no different. This statement is made by the Lord to Brahma at the very beginning of the universe. It is described. described that Brahma takes birth in the lotus flower. He's the first created being. So he finds himself in the middle of the darkness of the universe, all by himself. He's sitting on a lotus flower. The lotus springs from the navel of Garbhodaksha Krishna. So it's not a long period. It opens up, and there's Brahma. This is the method of conception. So Brahma is born with full intelligence, full of the urge to create, but he doesn't know what's going on. Here I am, sitting here, darkness all around. Who am I? How did I get here? What am I supposed to be doing here? Which is actually the situation of anybody in this material world. So Brahma observed that he was sitting on the lotus flower, and that this lotus flower was situated on the stem. And the stem disappeared into the darkness beneath him. So he climbed down the stem of the lotus flower. Thus showing the search for his origin. Where did I come from? But he wasn't able to proceed up all the way down. Something stopped him. But he heard, coming from the darkness, actually from the primordial waters, the syllables da-pa. And in this way, he received the order of the sheep. He took it. This was the message that came while he was sitting at this origin. He took it as an order. Climbed back up, situated himself in the lotus flower, and performed meditation in devotional service for 1,000 years of the demigods. At the end of that, says here, that the Lord shook hands with him. He appeared before Brahma and he shook his hands. So this way, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma is the founder of all Sampradaya. So this is the aboriginal, primordial act of becoming Krishna conscious. That's different here in Brahma's activity. So the importance of this tapa by penance was by following this order, tapa, penance, that Brahma became. Like it. So the Lord said to him when he saw Brahma, he said, "O Brahma, impregnate into me." That's Brahma's name, Megagarno. "I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance for the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo mystics of the yogis. I wish you good luck." He said, "Varam Maraya Pukam Day, hard to translate in English. May all blessings be upon you. I wish you good luck. O Brahma, you may ask of me, the giver of all benedictions, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction, as the result of all penances of tapasya, is to see me by realization." The highest perfection of ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude and the performance of severe penance according to my order. And Prabhupada says, the highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception, by the grace of the Lord. And then Prabhupada says, this can be attained by everyone who is willing to discharge the act of devotional service to the Lord is enjoined in the revealed scriptures that are standard and accepted by the bona fide acharyas, spiritual masters. So it's a simple thing. Prabhupada used to use the goal, the highest perfectional state, to see the Lord directly by realization through the grace of the Lord. And he said, everyone can attain it. How? Simple thing. Discharge the act of devotional service to the Lord as enjoined in the revealed scriptures that are standard and accepted by the only one in charge of spiritual ministry. So it's a very simple thing. There's no big perplexity at what the goal is, nor how to achieve it. We don't have to enter into a lot of complicated speculation. Prabhupada explains Bhagavad Gita in such literature, as proved by all the acharyas. In that Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, asks that one always be mindful of him, always be his devotee, always worship him only, and always bow down before the Lord. And by so doing, one is sure to go back home, back to Godhead, without any doubt. In other places also, the same order is there. That one give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto the Lord without hesitation. And the Lord will give such a devotee all protection. Because what makes us hesitate is wonder how we will be protected. These are the secrets of attaining the highest perfectional state. So there it is, Prabhupada instills the keys. You want to know how to do it? This is how. And then you see the examples there. Lord Rama exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex. That is, accepting the position of a servant very humbly. And thus he attained the highest perfectional stage of experiencing the mode of the Lord and the Lord himself performed his parenting. So that's how it's done. If one is unwilling to follow this process, then of course you cannot expect to see the Supreme Personality of God at all. These things will always be elusive. And that person will have so many doubts and misgiving. But here, seen by actual perception, this is what Prabhupada means by realized knowledge, by actual perception. It says in the Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, Pratyaksha Avagama. It's directly before the eyes. Prabhupada tells us that knowledge means information that is contained in the Vedas. So here we have some of this information from what he slides on, what his ability is, what's there. This is knowledge because it is information that is contained in the Vedas. And Prabhupada says, it is scientific knowledge because the candidate realizes this by his own experience. So that word scientific, when we claim science of self-revelation, science of Christianity, interpretation of material science. But, you know, there's a practical meaning to this word science. Prabhupada uses that word, practical, when he says Krishna consciousness is practical. Then it is, the subject matter is directly perceived by the candidate through the performance of Krishna consciousness. But what is the means? This is this posterity. So that's what, after this, now Krishna goes on. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance. Here Krishna says this, the word stapa, it came from me. When you are perplexed in your duty, such penance is my heart and soul. Therefore, penance and I are none different. And Prabhupada says, the penance by which one can see the personality of Godhead face to face is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Because only by discharging devotional service in transcendental love can one approach the Lord. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is none different. As soon as there is austerity or penance and devotional service, immediately one is in the or under the internal potency. When there's activities for sense gratification, we are under the control of the external potency. Our constitutional position is to be controlled at all times. That's our nature. We can never be. We're controlled because we're Jiva Tattva. Jiva Tattva, we're under control of superior force. That superior force is the energy of Krishna. That energy comes in two varieties, external and internal. So our limited freedom is we can choose which energy we want to be controlled by. We don't have the freedom not to be controlled by the superior force of Krishna. But our freedom is, we can be controlled by the internal potency or by the external potency. In either case, we receive orders. When we're in the internal potency, we receive orders from Krishna, either directly like Brahma here, or through his agent, the qualified spiritual. When I act on those orders, then I'm under the internal potency. Otherwise, orders are coming through the modes of material nature. Enjoy this. Eat this. Have sex with that. And so on. That's another direction of orders. That's, when we follow those dictates, the dictates of lust and greed and anger, then we are under the control of the external force. And we receive orders. And although we protest, we are controlled by a higher power. And we grow old, we become diseased, and we die. Those are all under control of material nature that causes us to. So we follow those orders. That's control. You can't put it off. People say they have to sometimes, they use a euphemism called answering the call of nature. They have to answer. It's the demand of nature. And in so many ways, they're enslaved to it. So, penance is the internal potency of the Lord, is not there. So, austerity means simply follow the order. That's what's meant by austerity. And he says, such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment or material enjoyment. The living entities are engaged in a condition of material bondage because of their propensity for overlordship. By engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoyment. that's the cause of our enslavement, this enjoyment spirit, with the notion of actually becoming the Lord, lording it over. So when one surrenders to Krishna through devotional service, this enjoying propensity goes away. Maya is always trying to tempt us to enjoy. And so she's very expert at creating the illusion of happiness. But we should understand, as soon as we think that by engaging in some material activity, whether it's becoming wealthy, sexual relationships, or becoming famous, whatever that's what we're attracted to, that yes, if I have this situation, I'll become happy. We should know right away this is a lie. Something should tell us. As soon as that, usually it starts as a fantasy. And projecting on the screen of the mind is this, like a television commercial. It says, you will enjoy this way. Probably all fantasy, but now we form the television commercials because that's what we learn. And just as we should be trained when you see a television commercial to know it's a lie. Anytime there's advertising, you should just understand right away it's a lie. The purpose of advertising is not to tell you the truth. These advertisements for Pepsi Cola, and these people are converging on the beach or something, and drinking this drink and just in ecstasies. You know what that drink will do for you. Cocaine. A little more than that, Coca Cola. But whatever they do, you know, that they try to suggest is by taking this product. Achieve all happiness. It's a lie. So whenever, in the same way, sometimes there's an effort in grade school to train children to understand that commercials are lies. It's all advertising is a lie. So similarly, anytime there's a fantasy of enjoying material nature, we should immediately understand this is a lie. Set by my trap. And if we become engaged in devotional service and we'll become detached from that fantasy, we'll see it for what it is. And we'll not be attracted. We won't be fooled, we won't be tricked by material nature. So this illusion of the office of enjoyment. A little while ago we had Prabhupada quote from the first word. A verse from the Puranas. What's in this chapter? Lada Tapa Kaya. In those words. Same word is there, Tapa. Here in this context, it means suffering. Same word. Penance, austerity means suffering. Bhakti yoga means the voluntary acceptance of some penance. But in the material world also, it's the word for suffering. So it says that in the material world, that lada, pleasure, Krishna has ladini shakti, the pleasure potency of Srimad Radharani in the spiritual world. But when that pleasure potency becomes exhibited in the material world, it becomes mixed. And so lada tapakari, that enjoyment in the material world is the cause of all misery. So it's a trick. you may think that we have to engage in some suffering to perform devotional service. We're depriving our senses of sense gratification, and they're crying like spoiled rats for their toys. And just like when a child has a temper tantrum, you just have to ignore them until they stop. So the senses may have demands. You may have a drink, you may enjoy a cigarette, whatever you've been addicted to, and one simply has to just look and go on screen. So that's suffering also. But in any case, that suffering is there. One way or another, because a lot of that suffering, that suffering will be there in the material world also. Birth, death, and age, disease, these are all suffering. So many ways. The whole material world is an ingenious contrivance for various forms of suffering. So that suffering will be there. And that suffering to no purpose. At least if we suffer in Krishna consciousness, we're suffering to some good purpose. It's not that you purchase immunity from suffering by engaging in sense gratification. The Prabhupada says here, one cannot enjoy material illusory prosperity if he desires to return home. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he is considered to be a fool. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into the eternal kingdom of God. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee. Well, maybe many of us are foolish, thinking, yes, I want to go back to God, and at the same time, I want to enjoy this material world. That's called foolish devotee. The Lord favors such foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. That's why so many of us are poor. If our reaction to this state of poverty is to get rich again, so Prabhupada describes what happens if this is our reaction. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord tries to recoup his position, in fact, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may have possessed. But he's persistent. By such repeated failures of material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, the family members and friends honor persons who are very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. They don't care how you got it. They don't like to look too closely. That's okay. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord, and at the end the devotee becomes perfectly happy being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus, penance is the internal potency of the Lord. That's nice. 2.9.23. Of course, we can also have money if we use it in Krishna service. But when we start to become greedy for our own sense gratification, Krishna snatches it away. Then Prabhupada goes on, continues purport, the next verse, Krishna says, I create this cosmos by such penance, I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance alone. Beauty, Krishna's power is actually the penance. It's his own power. It's his internal potency. So, Prabhupada, the purport of this verse, Prabhupada sort of continues with the last thing we thought. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead. And one must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end, troubles. Then he points out, he says, even for material prosperity of name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why, then, are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. So we are all being recruited to be a strenuous life, not an easy life. The Lord, Prabhupada says, is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. That's what he wants to see. Not just that we have this desire, oh yeah, sure, I'd like to go back to God, yeah, wait a minute, but it's time. No, Krishna wants to see that we actually desire. That's why Prabhupada said that we have to follow the regular principles. If we do not follow the regular principles, where is the proof that we love Krishna? If we love Krishna, we follow his orders. Otherwise, Prabhupada's word is sentimental. He talks about being sentimental devotees. He says, yes, I love Krishna. Nice sentiment about Krishna, but that doesn't result in anything real. So actual love means we follow this order. So he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. Painstaking, Prabhupada uses this word nicely again. To take pains, and also maybe to hurt a little bit. Take pains, be very careful and determined. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. He wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The orders received from the Lord, either directly or to the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. This is what Prabhupada defines as penance. To follow the order of the spiritual master. No matter how painstaking. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining his wisdom. Now we have the example of Prabhupada's own life. And he said, the secret of success in spiritual life is to discharge the order of the spiritual master. And so Prabhupada himself took great pains to do that when he was 17 years old. Discharge that order, coming to the United States all by himself, without much hope of success, with no money. Did it. And then everything was there because he worked like that. So we can see Prabhupada speaking from experience. And we see the Lord Rama. All the acharyas show us the same thing by their actions. So it's clear this is the way back to Godhead. And we have to sit down every understand that we're here because we want to go back to God, and otherwise there's so many other institutions doing so many other things. But the purpose of this institution is to bring people back to God. That's why we're here. Therefore, we're also committed to weeding out and getting rid of the desire for sense gratification. And we have a program for that, one way or another. There are various ways of going about it, authorized ways of going about it, and we should be taking up with it. And working very hard, taking pains. And then, we execute devotional service according, just according to the process that Prabhupada gives. We don't have to get very complicated in our mind what it is. Very well known. It only gets complicated when we try to avoid it. Therefore, we have to make up some theory. I can perform devotional service like this or like that. Then it gets complicated. But if we're just simple and accept the order as it comes down, then there's no problem. We'll go back home, back to God, and bring many other different results. Questions? Seeing everything related to the Lord, he sees everything in spirit. But there are different kinds of spirit. That's what Prabhupada told me. I asked him a question like this. Do we try to distinguish between the soul and the body, and yet he was just telling us how everything is spiritual. We have to distinguish between matter and spirit, but at the same time we should understand that everything is spiritual. Hopefully, because probably simply a different kind of spirit. They're not my life.
Because also there's only one focus. But it acts in different ways. But the one who serves the mission, the focus sees everything.
So-called external focus doesn't separate the condition. The one who has the illusion of enjoying in the external focus.
Understand, and maybe playing the big solid, and all the books inside.
So it's not a secret thing. Being a problem. If you're out there, if you have some other motivation, you won't be able to hear what you say. Even if you have a great peace problem.
Loves.